Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Make Money Monday is brought to you by BDO's financial services team, helping you keep pace with fintech and regulations in financial services. So, George, what's the correct protocol here? Do we bow? Do we curtsy? Do we just grovel in the face of the fresh? Look at that boy. I can't even do that. Where did that? Does that come from your feet?
I was born with it. I don't know. How are you doing, Bruce?
Fresh, it's such a pleasure to meet you after all of this time of watching your career. I mean, I've not seen all 30 years, you understand. I mean, I'm a late adopter. But, I mean, you've been in this business for an awfully long time. You started at school playing DJ. When did you know that you were going to be rich and famous and fabulous?
I don't know about the fame. I don't know about the riches, but I've been working on fabulous probably all my life. You know, I was the fat kid in school. I'm still the fat kid now at Prime Media House. So, yeah.
Well, welcome to the building.
Thank you.
You had a noisy exit from your last job.
Jeez.
Are they always noisy, the exits?
If ever there was noise. You know what the funny thing is, though? I mean, I remember when they announced that I was leaving YFM for 5FM. We didn't have social media at the time. In fact, I think the closest to social media we had was Biz Community. And I remember reading that thread, and it was noisy. So I think I've always either made noise or had noise follow me around or had noisy exits. I don't know.
Is it you or is it them?
I think you must always take responsibility for the part you play in any disagreement. Uh-huh. And see if you can learn lessons from the part you played. Because it's easy to point fingers. It's easy to blame the other person. But at some point, you might have been responsible for the fallout. So, I'll always stand up for where I am wrong. I'll apologize. But, yeah.
This time, you are in this building and you are part of 947. You've joined the afternoon drive. And I think they've been chasing you for an awfully long time. I mean, we've always been like people, Fresh is coming. Fresh is coming. And then he doesn't.
It's only been 10 years.
Only 10 years.
I think I've had three. I think you guys changed CEOs twice in the time. And I had meetings with all of them.
Who was your favorite?
I think the one that signed the deal right now is probably my favorite.
So Eric's your favorite? I thought so. I thought Eric would be
Only favorite. Because he hired me and I'm tired of being fired. So.
Now listen, growing up in Botswana, was life good?
I will not lie and say it wasn't. I mean, my parents were, you know, they went to good schools. My dad went to the University of Botswana. Then he went to Roma in Lesotho. Then he went to Cambridge. Sure. So, you know, my folks, they set the bar pretty high for us, the kids. And they sent us to good schools. They were in the civil service for a time. And then they went into business. So, you know, life was comfortable. We went to good schools.
You went to boarding school in your teenage years. Where were you at boarding school?
I was shipped off to boarding school when I was 12, 13 to Maruapula, which is literally 5 minutes walk from our house, Bruce. 5 minutes walk. But my folks...
You got fired from your own family.
In fact, at the time, I literally thought they were throwing me away. But... Oh. I look back and I realize that they realized they needed to grow up.
Okay. But that was tough love, eh? Sure.
For instance, I mean, I'd never done my own laundry until boarding school. And about 3 weeks into boarding house life, I realized that I'm out of socks. What's supposed to happen now? And then when I was done recycling socks, you know when you wear your socks long enough and repeat them long enough that they now stand on their own?
Now it's holidays. Yay! Yeah.
No, so I started learning how to do my own laundry, how to make my own bed. So I needed boarding school to grow up.
Yeah. But you're good. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of kids get sent far away from home and there are often reasons for it. But you're 5 minutes down the road.
I was in the same city, Bruce.
Yeah, tough call, eh?
Absolutely. But you know what? It was worth it. I think if you can afford boarding school, especially a good boarding school, do that. It's probably the best thing you could do for your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it helped me.
Independence learn how is to, huge, yeah?
Yes, independence. You learn how to manage relationships. You know how to manage cliques. So I was that guy that got on with all the cliques. And I found that very useful because, you know, that's what happens in the workplace. There's always cliques. In fact, everywhere you go in life, there's cliques. And I mean, the sooner you can learn how to navigate dealing with different people from different places, different countries. And I went to a school with kids from about 40 countries.
Sure.
So, you know, already we were learning how to, I guess, manage diversity at an early age.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, Botswana in the 80s and into the early 1990s, the relationship between South Africa and Botswana wasn't exactly rosy. There was a lot of tension, of course, and Botswana was home to members of the ANC, and it was an escape route for so many people who were leaving South Africa during the 1980s. Yes. And so a really interesting dynamic. But you're at boarding school, and you get to do a radio show, your first radio show. I think, what's it, 1992?
I did my first radio show after matric, in fact. We did O-levels. So, but what used to happen, though, is I think in grade 10, I used to make radio tapes, make-believe radio shows, because my best friend is Norwegian, so he left for Norway when we were 15. So we used to send each other music, but we'd make radio tapes. And those were my first ever radio recordings. That I used to send to Norway of all the latest music from here. And he'd reciprocate with music from that side. And I'd like to think that's how my radio career started, in fact. So
Have you got one of those tapes? Have you got
I have an old, you know, these old trunks that they'd ship you to boarding school with.
Yeah.
I've got a trunk full of love letters, textbooks and cassette tapes. I'm certain one of those would be one of my demo tapes.
You've got to find it.
I have to find it.
And you just cringe because you just hear this voice from the distant past.
In fact, I still think I did a better job than a lot of people still on radio now. So
as long as you're not doing a better job than you do now.
No, I think I've grown a bit. But after high school, I did a year of national service, and I was a teacher at a village 200 kilometers out of Gaborone. And I was a Setswana teacher and a mathematics teacher. Mm. The two subjects I failed in matric were the subjects I had to teach for my national service. And then out of national service, I got my first radio gig. So yeah.
Was national service good for you? I mean, I've been to Botswana and you talk to these guys and everybody's very, very positive about the national service system in Botswana. I don't know if it's still going.
But I think it was brilliant because instead of a gap year, kind of trying to find yourself, you still have a gap year, but you're doing something, you're getting an allowance, you're serving your country. And after national service, if you pass, you're guaranteed that your varsity would be paid up for.
It's worked for Botswana.
I think it has. I mean, the number of people that are educated across the globe from bots, it's actually insane. I think I still owe the government 2 years of my LLB, which I flunked out of. So,
but you went from LLB because you were going to do law, and then you went to go and study journalism. You were going to go do media studies. I mean, that was, but how did your dad, who'd been to Cambridge, feel about that?
We fought about it, being a man who studied at Cambridge for a couple of years, you know, he has a snootiness about him. And, you know, his first thing was, but what will people say?
Yeah.
One of the other things he said was, you're going to end up working for the very people you're in lectures with right now. And I actually don't mind now because my hourly rate is actually higher than theirs. So.
Yeah.
I'll gladly play their gigs.
No, exactly. Play their gigs. And you developed an international career. You went from RB2,
RB2, yes.
Botswana, you joined YFM in 1997. Yonaki Yona.
Absolutely.
In fact, YFM, Metro, 947. You've gone up in the world.
I have. I think I'm at the pinnacle right now. But yeah, so I did a 3-year media studies diploma with Boston Media House and the Rand Afrikaans University. And I majored in journalism and copywriting. So if you're looking for a writer or a copywriter, I'm your man.
You've got no time for that.
I'll make the time.
Do you make lots of time? I mean, are you a guy who's able to apportion his time effectively?
In fact, I think I've generally come this far because I insist on managing my time. I insist on setting time aside for the things that matter. You know, things like family, things like meetings, things like gym. You have to make the time for the things that matter. Otherwise, you die trying to chase whatever you're chasing.
DJ Fresh, his real name is Tato Sekwane. He is the new afternoon drive host on 947, our sister station in Joburg. We're chatting to him this evening all about money. I want to find out what he does with his money, what bad money habits he's got.
What money?
Hey, you work at 947, they've got lots of money. Well, they used to, and then they hired you. DJ Fresh, more with him in a moment.
The Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
DJ Fresh in studio with us this evening, afternoon drive host on 947. He's been in place for a week. Was it 2 weeks now?
A week and a bit. So far, so good. I haven't been fired, so I'm not doing badly.
Sheesh, is this a record for you?
No, I'm not Fat Joe. I generally tend to last longer than Fat Joe, so.
What is it about this industry that grabs you and makes you want to get up every single day and go and talk into a microphone, play some songs, have some fun, get people home, and then go and get a laugh afterwards?
Honestly, I think our ability to affect change is often underrated by us in the industry. We don't realize the power we wield. We don't realize how we change people's lives. You might think all I did was play a song, but that song might be the difference between whether someone was going to jump off a building or not. So there's so much we do to change people's lives, to change how people view themselves, how they view the world, how they even view their own money, for instance. So I think just the ability to change people's lives, for me, that's power, man. If ever there was power, it's that.
Tell me about how you view money.
I myself and money are not always the best of friends, because there's a reckless part of me that wants to just spend. But because I've watched people around me squander money or be worse off than they were before they had money, I'm also very cautious. In fact, a friend of mine says I have a pauper mentality, because I literally count cents, and I'll think twice before I spend on something. So I'm that guy. So I'm a reluctant, reckless spender
who doesn't spend his money. There's a contradiction.
Exactly.
Okay, so what sort of things do you feel that you waste money on or have wasted money on?
So for instance, I used to waste money on cars, for instance. So my first, like my 9-10 years at YFM, I was literally buying almost a car a year at some stage, until my good friend DJ Oskido pulled me to the side and he told me that, listen, I don't know what you're doing wasting your money on cars. Why don't you rather get a property a year at all if you must go shopping and if you must splurge? So I think I've slowed down on the cars. I've kind of grown up. But a part of me once in a while wants to just spoil myself because I feel I work hard. But the little voice of reason in my head and the voice of Oskido saying, my man, we discussed this, always plays back. So yeah, I used to be reckless with money when it comes to especially cars, but I think I've slowed down. In fact, I have slowed down.
When did you last buy a car?
Last bought a car 2 and a bit years ago. Old me would have already flogged it and moved on to the next one.
When's the next car coming?
Because this one's motor plan is fast approaching, and you know how they build these cars. I mean, they bastards. they time the motor plan such that the day after it elapses,
something
major breaks.
We know this.
So my car will probably go in the next 2 months.
Okay. And will you upgrade? Will you move sideways? Will you look for bells and whistles? Are you brand loyal?
In fact, if anything, I will downgrade. If anything, I'll downgrade. But I think worst case scenario, I'll stay where I am.
So what's the downgrade from a Bentley then?
You'll be amazed at how cheap secondhand Bentley GTs are, in fact.
Do you drive a Bentley?
No, I don't.
I'm just checking.
But if I were to, I'd get a secondhand. I wouldn't get a brand new.
Yeah, but then you can't afford the blooming the repairs of these things, you see.
Absolutely. So for me, you know, you reach a point where you realize and you admit that a car, more often than not, unless it's an investment piece, it's a means to an end. It's, you know, how I get from A to B. And, you know, at best, one or two people might stay if it looks hot, but that's it. And then what?
Does Fresh invest money? You say?
In fact, I have been probably saving a portion of my salaries since 1997, when I started at YFM. So a friend of mine, T-Boz, who works at Kaya, he introduced me to a relative of his who worked at Liberty at the time in 1997. And, you know, did a couple of retirement annuities, endowment plans here and there. But now I've got like a million of those. So I do invest my money.
Do you look after it yourself? Do you pay attention or do you just, you have an investment advisor who occasionally drops you a mail saying, you're okay, dude, you're fine, don't worry about it? How does it work?
I've got an advisor at Genesis, is it Genesis Capital, who kind of helps me just make sure that I'm putting enough away. You know, there are days I look at my retirement, my various retirement plans, and I think, do I really need these? But I'd rather look back when I'm 60 and say, I'm glad I did, than be 60 and regret that I didn't. So,
yeah, that's
you know,
true.
So I stay put. I mean, for instance, I mean, I'm very big on preaching about if you can afford to save. I mean, the fact that I was without a salary for 2 months, but my family didn't feel it, it's because I was saving for that rainy day. And you know, when you read stats about how your average person is literally a paycheck away from bankruptcy, yeah, if that doesn't put the fear of God in your eyes, I don't know what will. So I save enough for a rainy day, but I also invest, you know, a portion of my salary. So, yeah.
When you made the best money decision you've ever made, what do you think that was?
Probably property, I suppose. I think, you know, there's something about buying a place where you can tell the kids are comfortable, the family is comfortable. It's also, you know, a decent investment. It's your castle. It's your sanctuary away from the madness. For me, yeah, I think it has to be the property. And I think also building my parents a house at the home village, at my dad's home village, for me was also a big achievement for me. Because I think if anything, if you're able to, you know, build your parents a house also.
Yeah, and that's a kind of a cool thing. I mean, did you say, yeah, the lawyer wouldn't have done this, but the DJ does, because the DJ is a nice guy. If I'd stayed a lawyer, I wouldn't have been this nice.
I probably would have still been nice, but I don't know if I'd be as fulfilled as I am right now. Ah. But also given how a lot of what I do is led by empathy and being empathetic, I'd probably be that lawyer that does everything pro bono. So I'm glad I'm not a lawyer, actually.
It would be blooming expensive. What's the latest and most terrible thing you've wasted money on? Confession time.
The latest probably has to have been, I don't think it's a waste of money. I just don't think it's the money spinner a lot of people hope it is to get a franchise. So I, myself and Duran, who's a sportscaster at 5FM, Duran Collett, yes.
Yes, he used to be on the show, yeah.
We co-own a sausage saloon at Carnival City.
Doesn't he eat all the buttons?
Listen, it's a business that kind of keeps ticking, but the time that you need to put into anything to do with food and managing people and food wastage and pilfering, it's not. For me personally, because I think our industry has also spoilt us in terms of what you can potentially make per hour versus what you could make. For instance, if your franchise is doing well, I can make what the franchise makes in a month, in an hour, for instance.
And a franchise is real work.
It's a lot of work.
I know, but well done for you for getting a proper job.
Listen, so the only reason we're keeping the franchise because it ticks over and it's still, you know, the bank manager's happy seeing that there's money happening, it's active, and we have people employed. But if I was to do it again, I don't think I would.
DJ Fresh, listen, thank you so much for coming in. Lovely to have you and welcome.
Is it over?
It's over. It's time for Eyewitness News almost.
No.
Yes.
Well, I could be the news if you want.
No, please don't do that. It's only been 10 days. Give us some time.
Thanks, Bruce. I love your show. I love your work, man. Love everything about you.
And we love the fact that you're in the building. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks, Bruce.